this episode, Dave and Doug resurrect memories of old cars as they talk with a restorer of Volkswagen buses. How to turn your hobby into a business, right here on Car Talk!
Welcome to Job Talk, where our job is to make your job more fun and profitable. My name's Doug Minder.
I'm Dave Force.
And every week we talk with people around the country who are doing just what we all do, working for a living.
Doug, who do we have?
We're talking to Peter Albarian, who's the owner and CEO of Kirksbeat Restoration and Resurrections Automotive. How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I love the name of your company. I mean, that itself is intriguing. Obviously, you do restorations and resurrections. And why do you go so far as saying resurrections?
Well, for anybody who's been around old Volkswagen buses, they know that they are a lot of fun to drive, but they're like stepping back in time. And my son and I have taken different old Volkswagen buses and brought them back from literally sitting for decades to vehicles that can be driven and enjoyed, but not necessarily restored. So, you know, you've got something that may look really, really old and like it shouldn't be driving, but mechanically, it's incredibly sound and a lot of fun to drive.
How many have you done? How many of these buses have you done in your lifetime?
Oh, my goodness. I know I personally, I think my son and I counted, I think I'm up to 39 over the years that I've owned personally. And I've helped probably at least a few dozen people in addition to that. So
hundreds.
I don't know. I mean, we're definitely over 50.
Wow. So here's a question for you. Who's the typical Volkswagen bus owner? I mean, who do you find now has this same passion for them that you do?
You know, it's funny that the answer to that question has changed. I bought my first bus that I still own today a little over 22 years ago. And when I bought it then, the typical person that owned the bus was almost more of a recluse, different and unique, and really didn't care about what anybody else thought. Over the years, the hippies that drove these buses back in the 50s and 60s have become adults with funds. And what's happened is these buses have gone from being something that was more of an outsider's vehicle to something that is not quite mainstream, but desirable. You've got them being sold at auction, some of them literally in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for an old restored bus that obviously is going to somebody that has money. They've gone from being something that very few people wanted to something very, very desirable. But on the other side, you've also got young people. And I'm even talking teenagers and people in their 20s that are buying these things and literally taking them and personalizing them. So you've got these young people that are putting, you know, bigger engines in them. They're lowering them. They're personalizing them with colors and special interiors and different things like that, special wheels. So what's happened is part of the reason the prices on these have gone up so much is because of the fact that you've got different types of people buying them for different reasons. It's a very, very interesting group. When I go to Volkswagen shows and Volkswagen events, some of them even being specifically just for old buses, and you look at the people and it's the gamut. It really is.
So it's kind of like vinyl. It's suddenly hip and expensive again. So I have a question for you. My dad was a mechanic, among many other things, and I think I have a piece of every car going back to a 1946 Austin that he ever worked on. And you know, you get this emotional attachment to what we all know is just a piece of metal, but more. You know, chitty chitty bang bang aside, I haven't seen a car that can talk to me in real time. What is it that attaches you and me and other people to, you know, specific inanimate objects like Volkswagen buses?
Well, to start, when I was young, I grew up in San Diego, right by the water, and got to enjoy all the water sports and skateboarding and all those different kinds of things that we did when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. And when I was at the beach, the coolest vehicles that the old surfers or the older surfers would come in on were old Volkswagen buses and old Woodies. I've always had an affection for both. Back when I first bought my first bus, it's a deluxe model that people in Volkswagens know as a 23-window bus. It's an earlier deluxe, top-of-the-line vehicle. Unfortunately, I started there. I bought it because the Beetle that I was driving was getting very tired. And I had bought that Beetle to drive. Literally, it was supposed to hold me over for 2 months, and I drove it for 10 years because it just kept going and going and going. And I gained a very, very great respect for the reliability and simplicity of the Volkswagen, and thought, you know, if I'm going to replace this with anything, I want to replace it with a bus. And I had a lot of friends that had Beetles, Ghias, different models of Volkswagens that thought I was out of my mind to buy a bus. Why would you buy something like that? Those things are pieces of junk, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I had my reasons. Now looking back, I'm very, very glad that I did, because it's become, you know, a great hobby and even more than that. But I still remember the day that I bought my first bus. I knew nothing about the way it worked, and I literally took it to a restoration shop and said, I need this to be turned into a driver. And I still have a picture of my two kids that are now 26 and 24 standing next to that bus. My daughter is standing there, and I think she was almost two, and my son's standing there, and he's, you know, I don't know, 3 and a half, something like that. And then I go through all these years and think of all the time that we've all three spent together with them, and even more so my son and I, and what we've done to them, and how it's kept our relationship together. It's been a gift.
You know, I really think what you just touched on, as Doug was asking that question previously, as far as why we are attracted to metal, what's the connection? I see it as, pardon the pun, the car is a vehicle that takes you to a place. So it's the memories, where you went, what you did, and that car took you there. Mine was a 69 Dodge Dart. Was there anything magical about that car? Not necessarily, but I remember places I went, people I was with, and everything else. So that was my attachment to my 69 Dart. That harkens back to our simpler lives, our simpler days, and of course, I'm aging myself, but that's what I see the attachment of a vehicle is, because of the memories of where it took you.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Dave. That's
thank you.
Spot
thank
on. You so talk a little bit about running a business that's built around your passion.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it truly did just start purely as a hobby. You know, a longer story short, the restoration shop that I had my bus in was not on the up and up. At one point, I almost lost my first bus to the government when that business was being taken over. And it forced me to complete the bus. It forced me to learn about the bus, even at a time where I didn't necessarily have time to do that. And one thing led to another, and I learned that there were parts that were difficult to find. And so I looked and said, well, you know, I might do another one of these someday. Let me go ahead, when I see one of those parts that's a reasonable price, let me go ahead and buy it. And so I'd buy it and I'd put it away. And over time, I'd look and somebody would come to me and say, hey, I have one of those. By the way, there's no better way to find new people that have old buses, meet new people in general, and also buy cars than driving an old car. And so I'd be driving along, I'd be at a grocery store, I'd have somebody literally flag me down and pull me down on the highway driving this old bus.
Of course.
And I drove that bus literally daily. Didn't matter if it was snowing in Virginia where I moved, thunderstorm, ice storm, didn't matter. I drove it daily.
Yeah, that's great.
People thought I was out of my mind that I would be driving a bus like that. And I had to start building, you know, my tool set to make sure that I had appropriate tools for what I was working on. I had to, you know, pay attention to finances. I've got a wife that I've been fortunate enough to be married to for over 29 years. And one of the agreements that we have is that my Volkswagen business is completely separate from our personal finances. Mm-hmm. So everything that I do is based out of my Volkswagen business. Mm-hmm. If I need money, I have to sell a vehicle, I have to sell parts, or I have to do work for someone else to make sure that there are funds to take care of what it is that's needed.
So it's a real business thing.
It is a real business. Yeah. And it's one of those things where I'm organized about it. I have to be even more organized about it, obviously, when I'm doing things for other people versus doing things for myself. Mm-hmm. But that business can be doing work for others. That business can be restoring or resurrecting my own vehicle and then selling it. You know, there's a lot of different ways that it works. I don't have necessarily employees, though, when my son is able to help me. I mean, I do pay him because that's only fair, or he gets a percentage of. That's kind of the way it works. So the nice thing is I've kept it small, because I don't want my hobby and my small business to become something that I don't look forward to. Every opportunity that I have to spend on my Volkswagens in my shop at my pace is something that is time that I look forward to.
That's a very great lesson that you just pointed out there, Peter, is the fact that when someone has a hobby and then realizes that there's financial opportunity as a revenue stream, that in order to continue to love the hobby, you can't let it become so consuming that it turns into work. Because then it's no longer a joy. So I think that that's a very articulate way of depicting how you still have a passion about what you do because you don't let it consume you. All right, I have a quick question. What is the oldest bus you ever restored?
Restored or resurrected? Can I do both?
Oh. Well, whatever. I mean, you know, as our listeners are out there and you're talking about old buses, my question is, what was the oldest one you ever got your hands on and did something with?
The oldest one that I ever fully restored is the one that I first bought, which is a 1962 23-window bus. It's a 9-passenger bus. It has Safari windows. It has some other neat options. The oldest one that I have resurrected and drive regularly, which I really enjoy, is actually a 54.
Wow.
That is also a 23-window. And that one is what we in the Volkswagen bus world call a barn door bus. Volkswagen started manufacturing Volkswagen buses in 1949 and called them 1950 was the first year. And they started making the 23-window bus in 1951. They made that first generation bus from that 1950 until very early 1955. And there are a lot of differences in the body, including the gas tank and the spare tire being in the engine compartment, which is why we call them a barn door bus, because the rear door that covers the engine is quite large. But that's the oldest that I've resurrected. Actually, I find the resurrected ones more fun to drive because I don't have to worry about rock chips and things.
That's great. Again, we're talking with Peter Albarian from Kirkspeak Restore and Resurrection. So has found a way to turn a hobby into a revenue stream while still maintaining it as a hobby. And obviously, you can tell by his conversation with us, he still has a great passion about it. From time to time, we like to check in with some of our guests. And, you know, we'd like to give you a call back at some point in time. And you can give us the latest and greatest story of your most recent acquisition and restore and or resurrection, whatever the case might be. So if you'd be willing to allow us to contact you again in the future, I'm quite sure our listeners would be very happy to hear from you.
I would be honored, Dave and Doug. That would be fantastic.
Once again, Peter Albarian. Thanks a lot, Peter. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for spending time with us today. We hope to hear from you next week.
Yeah, in the meantime, leave us a note on the blog and or send us a note at dave@jobtalkradio.org or doug@jobtalkradio.org.
Dave takes the good notes, Doug takes the bad notes.
I take the high road, Dave takes the low road.
It's a journey. It's a four-wheel drive journey. Hey, thanks again for being with us on jobtalkradio.org. We hope that you'll go to our website, leave a note, post a blog, send us an email. jobtalkradio.org.
That's jobtalkradio.org.